The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday, and we made it to the end of another ordeal, and it is that. More and more people are waking up to the simple fact that they have made a mistake by trusting the government. I'm not going to spend much time on that, but you all know what I'm talking about. We need to reach out and try to help these people as much as we can. It's quite a different planet Earth than it was a couple of years ago, and no resemblance at all to what it was, let's say, 70 years ago, 65 years ago, in the 1950s, 55 years ago in the 1960s, in the 70s, and how quickly it changed. Amazing. Remarkable things happened back then, and fortunately for our first guest tonight, they have largely been recorded in his books and his prior visits on this radio program, and it's always fascinating to talk to Raymond Keller. Ray is a unique UFO ET researcher. He has focused to a large degree on the planet Venus, which has, as most of you realized, been given the cold shoulder by the media. And you have to start asking yourself, well, why? I mean, is it really because it's 800 degrees on the surface and no one could possibly live there? Or is there something else going on? And don't forget, if you go down under the surface, maybe a couple of feet, maybe a couple meters, it's just fine. No problem at all. So why no attention to Venus? Well, Ray knows all about that. Welcome back, Ray. It's good to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Mr. Rents. It's always a pleasure to be on your special program and to address your audience.
Yeah, wonderful people out there and they're very much concerned about many things, but let's get off that for the next couple of hours and do some fun things. And if you look in guests, yes, we have them posted, you'll find Raymond Keller at the top, and there's some really interesting links under his name, which we will get to shortly. How about just doing a little bit of a summary, Ray, about what you've done, what your interests are, and what we've covered and where we're going to go tonight? Just a little quick overview.
Thank you. My recent books are The Vast Venus Conspiracy and The Lady Columba Venus Revelations. These have come out in the recent year, and they're very special because they contain information never before seen, photographs never before seen before, all pertaining to the planet Venus and activities of the Venusians on the Earth and in our solar system. And then the efforts of the governments of this Earth and other agencies to obfuscate or hide these facts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they've been doing that for forever. Long time. Never do you see Venus in the news. It just doesn't happen. They talk about all the other planets before they'll talk about Venus, and the obvious answer to that is there's something going on up there. It's clear. Or they'd be talking about it. They talk more about the moon, and we know there's a lot of stuff going on up there. Now, what was the name of that second book you mentioned? The Lady Columbo Venus Revelations? Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. That's right. Lady Columba Venus Revelations. This is Columba Krebs. She was born in 1902 in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And she...
Hold on. Lady Columba, C-O-L-U-M-B-A?
Yes, that's right.
Columba Krebs.
That was the name...
Okay.
That was the name given to her by the Venusians, and she lived in the vicinity of Joshua Tree in the 1950s. She was an artist, and as well as a world traveler, a study of theosophy and esoteric other esoteric subjects. She was a very, very interesting person. She lived in Germany for quite some time. She lived in Tibet. She lived in other parts of India. And she became the secretary to a contactee known as Truman Bethlehem. And she had her own experiences meeting meeting up with many of the same ETs.
What was that?
Venusians.
What was that name again? That's another mouthful. Truman what?
Truman Bethlehem. Truman Bethlehem.
B E T E
H U R
E T H
U M.
Okay. B-E-T-H-U-R-U-M. Bethlehem. All
yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
When I put the Lady Columba Venus Revelations in Amazon, I get a Gillette, as in razor blades, Venus Intimate Grooming Women's Razor Blade Set. Your book didn't come up. I must have done something wrong, you think? All right, anyway.
Lady Columba Venus Revelations.
All right. Well, you're linked up with a Gillette's Venus Intimate Grooming Razor Set, so I guess things could be worse. But it had, at least they mentioned Venus there. Let me try this again. What the hell? All right. Wait a minute. More razor blades. All right. Just a minute. I got a book. I'll put book in there. I'll help them out. Book.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. I want to see this book. It is. I assume it's on. There it is. Yeah. 5 stars. Wonderful. And one review, but that's okay. We'll take it. Lady Columba Venus Revelations. Now let me open this up. $25. Okay. As told to the prominent mythologist, magic realist, and UFO researcher Dr. Raymond A. Keller. By the 1950s and 1960s, Southern California artist, contactee, and social activist Annabelle Krebs, Lady Columba, Venus Revelations. Now, Annabelle Krebs is quite a name, too. Lady Columba, Venus Revelations is the 5th volume in the award-winning Venus Rising series by Ray. In Annabelle Krebs' own words... Is she still with us?
No. She passed.
Well, I hope she's up on Venus. This book was originally inspired, by a series of experiences that occurred during the period of mid-January 1957 through the end of August 1961. There is nothing in this book that I could have simply made up out of thin air. It is not so important that I or some other contactees convince you to believe in the existence of advanced ETs coming to visit us here on Earth, or even that they can carry us with them on their journeys through outer space, but moreover, that we start to believe in ourselves. That was a nice sentence. Above all else, we should always give new ideas the benefit of the doubt. I say this with respect to any concept or proposition, no matter how unbelievable at first glance, and regardless of its source. We certainly do not wish to stand in the way of promoting progress. As such, I must let this story stand on its own merits. And if anyone wishes to apply anything herein to their contemporary life, then that would be their own responsibility. That's called a disclaimer. In the last analysis, any inspiration should always be credited to the author of all good, regardless of who the channel may be. Paranormal activity of all kinds is on the rebound worldwide. The portals to the infinite are flung open. That's a nice intro. So this book, I mean, if I had time, I'd read it. Lady Columba, C-O-L-U-M-B-A, Venus Revelations by Raymond A. Keller.
Oh, yes. It's just a wonderful, it's a wonderful book, and I was able to obtain all of her original artwork and her original manuscript, both handwritten and typewritten on an old Royal typewriter.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful experience putting it all to all together. There's drawings that she did there of an interplanetary council on a space platform called the Leviathan, and it has all these different types of aliens from different worlds in the Confederation of Planets. And there is one in there that's a blue avian, and this is a drawing that was made in the late 1950s.
How did you get to meet Annabelle Krebs? Did you spend much time talking with her?
Yes. Well, I had seen her in the very first time in a meeting back in the 1960s up in Reno, Nevada.
Right.
She made an appearance. She made an appearance at a UFO confab.
Giant Rock?
At the woods in northern Pennsylvania, northwestern Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Back in 2017. And she was seen and photographed by many people.
It was really her, or was it a spiritual her?
An etheric body or a physical one, I'm not sure.
Well, Annabelle Krebs.
She looked to be physical.
Now, there's a name that I honestly haven't heard before, and I've heard a lot of names from the Giant Rock days. I'm sure she used to go to that if she lived in Joshua Tree. It's not that far away.
Oh, yes. She was a frequent attendee, and any time that Truman went there, she was there because she was his secretary, and she also did the illustrations for his book, I Rode a Flying Saucer, and other material that he put out. He was a road construction worker in Nevada. Who initially had these contacts with a woman named Aura Raines, a Venusian commander. And then later on, Annabelle had similar meetings with the same contingent of Venusians.
All right, now, just for our listeners, I don't know anything about Truman either, so these are very interesting people that you have focused on and certainly immortalized in the book. This would be a good book, Lady Columba, C-O-L-U-M-B-A, Venus Revelations. When we talk about that era, the 50s and the 60s, We're talking about the era of contactees. Just remember that. The Venusians, according to Ray's research, used to spend a lot of time here talking to people, and in point of fact, Valiant Thor, one of the commanders from Venus, came here and allegedly lived in the Pentagon for a couple of years while he talked to and held conferences with Americans and military people and you name it. But he was another one. Do the Venusians still come here, Ray, or have they kind of washed their hands of this rat hole?
No, they're very concerned about us here, and they frequent our planet, and Dr. Frank E. Stranges, brought the information about Valiant Thor to the fore for all of us. This defines their role here on Earth as more of an angel force. That was his words, an angel force. A force for good working behind the scenes to help advance our planet spiritually and technologically, but technologically in the areas of peace.
Well, they better hurry. All I got to say.
Yes, they're very, very.
We're running out of time, Ray. This is
yes,
bad
we're
time.
At the we're at a we're definitely at a turning point, and this is the critical mass that it's all been building up to.
Critical mess. All right, that too. So let's talk about what we want to talk about tonight. Now we've got under Raymond Keller in guests. I'm going to add this book. That's what I'm going to do. I'll add this book here. There's a bunch of a lot of photographs of Valiant Thor and other people on Menger's farm. And what do you want us to, what do you want to do first? It's you're the guest. You
okay.
Lead the way.
Well, I can tell you about this first book that just came out. About Annabelle Krebs and what it's all about.
The Lady Columba book.
Okay. Yes.
Now, how did the Venusians name her Lady Columba, and why?
Okay. As she was exploring space with them, she was given that name when she was inducted into this angel force.
Right.
And okay. that is her name as an operative on Earth. Now, back in the 1960s, she did a painting of the process that she witnessed on a base on the moon, a Venusian base on the far side of the moon, where they had downloaded a person's memory, in essence, into this type of machine. And then there was a Venusian therapist that was replanting her memory into a reconstructed body. So they took her genetic structure, her DNA, before she died, and then they reconstituted a new body where they could download her her consciousness, her intelligence, and everything into it. Mm-hmm. And she drew this, and it was essentially a prophecy of what would happen to her. And that's in the very beginning of the book, that picture. It's at the University of Arizona at Tucson in the on display there in the art gallery.
Hmm. Okay. What's the cover of the book? Just some an artist concept, or is that something that she put together?
That's a picture of her, but the publisher, Headline Books, put the special effects there with the statue of Venus and a section of the spiral arm of the Milky Way.
Okay. So that is a picture of her.
That's
Annabelle. Okay, good. Now, when we talk about
there's a picture of her from 1920 in New York City with her sister and her mother. She survived the great Spanish flu pandemic.
Right.
And there's a picture of her. Her mother ran a boarding house there. And then a picture of her walking around in 2017, and there's essentially no difference in the picture.
Was this after the physiological reconstruction then in 2017?
Yes, this was after.
Okay.
Afterwards.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. When was the last time you saw her?
That was on the 24th of June of 2017.
Prior to that?
Prior to that. That was in around 1965 or so.
All right. This is what I'm getting at. You saw her then, and you saw her in 2017. How would you describe the two Annabelles, or the same Annabelle?
I would say that the one that's present now is a younger version, equivalent to her teenage self of 18 years old in the year 1920.
Wow! All right, so. She'd be 120 years old now, right? If they hadn't reconstituted her.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Oh, and did she remember you when you saw her in 2017?
Yes.
Hi, Ray. Don't stare at me. I'm the same Annabelle, even though I look like I'm 17. Don't stare. It's okay. This is wild. All right, hold on a minute. I have to do a little break here. Right back with Dr. Raymond Keller in just a minute. And welcome back on this Friday night, talking with Dr. Ray Keller. His very interesting new book about a woman who apparently has been, resurrected, reanimated, reborn, reconfigured. She's back. And is she etheric, or is she 3D, five senses on this planet full time, Ray? What did she tell you? When you saw her in 2017, you must have been mind blown. Come on, this is a shocker. Were you ready for this?
Oh yes, it was quite startling. There were several people that saw her come down, and there was like.
When you say come down, what come down? What do you mean?
This is a shaft of light in the forest, and then there were three beings walked out of it.
So she came down from a ship in a beam of light. She was lowered down with two others. She came out. And this was a UFO conference?
Yes, it was a UFO conference out in the woods.
And she came up to you and said, Ray. What did she say?
She came out and she was met by some campers that were out there. And attendees of the convention, and they wanted to know where the cosmic ray was, because I was introducing the second and third book that were just published.
Okay, Let me get this right. Annabelle and the other two ETs were asking the campers. She wasn't expected. This was an unexpected.
Yes.
So she said, "Where is Cosmic Ray?" That's Ray's nickname for all of you out there. They call him Cosmic Ray. So she asked where you were. Is this correct?
Yes.
All right.
That they wanted to attend. That they wanted to attend the introduction.
Your presentation.
Of these
books. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
especially because one of the books was all about her, I would understand that.
Yes, and one gentleman was walking a dog, and the dog was barking crazily, and Annabelle just touched the dog, and it quieted it quieted down, this gentleman said to follow him into the campsite. So they were there, and some people took some pictures. There was a photographer from a local paper who took a picture of them,
right.
And it's in the book. And
who was with her, Ray? Pardon the interruption. Who was with her? What did they look like?
There was a woman of Indian descent named Lady Aurora. She identified herself as Lady Aurora. And then there was a security guard who identified himself as Alan.
Okay. So they were accompanying her. She came down to see you intro the new book about her that you had written. How long had it taken you to write this book about her? And she had already been dead when you started writing the book. She was gone. You didn't know she was reconstituted, correct?
No, I had no idea.
All right. And what prompted you to write the book?
Well, what prompted me was that number one, a contactee is found, a prominent contactee who is a woman, and her contacts are just as profound as any of the others. Howard Menger, George Adamski, and so forth. So what happened was that back in 1954, Annabelle read this book by Truman Bethlehem, titled "Aboard a Flying Saucer," and she couldn't put it down. She was obsessed with it. So she packed up her bags and left the East Coast and moved out to California. And then she rented a house out in Joshua Tree on the outskirts of the National Park so she could be close to Truman Bethlehem.
That is the desert, friends. There's nothing out there but miles and miles of miles and miles. And that's it.
We're talking about contactees. These are those that are claiming to have experienced close encounters with UFO occupants. So naturally, a woman in the 1950s, you know, the highest degree they could probably aspire to was an MRS degree, you know, Mrs. So, as the saying goes. So this is quite spectacular because she was highly intelligent, and she wanted to play a part in this whole contactee movement and assist the contactees in their important work of disseminating messages of peace and a better way of life for all on the planet Earth, as the message of the brothers and sisters from outer space is constituted. Now, every year out there in Southern California, the contactees would gather at this small desert town of Landers, where George Van Tassel had the famous giant rock airport. That's about 17 miles, I'd say, northeast of Yucca Valley. And these were the first of the flying saucer conventions. And George Van Tassel, who ran them and sponsored them, was an airplane mechanic. He moved out there from Ohio and bought the giant rock from a prospector and built his house underneath there. His good friend happened to be Howard Hughes, the famous aviator. And
No, this is an amazing story. I remember. And when he bought Giant Rock, we should mention, that there had already been an excavation underneath it. It was partly at least already done. I think maybe he expanded it. I don't know, but he did make his residence under the rock. There was somebody there before him.
Mr. Kreitzer, and unfortunately, he died in an accident. Some say it was a suicide. That was where George Van Tassel himself, on his own property there, had a contact with his first contact with a Venusian, an extraterrestrial named Solgonda. And this ET instructed him on how to build this type of rejuvenation chamber and a time machine that he called an integratron. And it's still there on the property for anybody that would like to go out there and look at it.
It's a remarkable book, and you can look it up online for you newcomers who don't remember Ray's earlier visits. Integratron. Integratron. You can look that up. That was built apparently on the directions from blueprints, as it were, of ETs.
So. Yes. And it was gutted out after Van Tassel died, and there were just a few Tesla coils left in there.
There was a lot of very advanced machinery, in there, and it was all taken out. We wonder by whom, probably the government, I would
think. Yes, probably the same ones that that raided Tesla's apartment after he died.
Oh, they cleaned his hotel room out real quick.
Oh, yes. Well, Mr. Rentz, over the next 3 years or so, Annabelle became well acquainted with most of the contactees that were out there, Adamski and Orfeo Angelucci and many others, and they'd come out to visit her at her desert home. And being inspired by Truman, Bethlehem, and these contactees, she turned her home into a literal cosmic shrine. She filled it with symbolic paintings of high spiritual meaning, with fluorescent colors that glowed under ultraviolet lighting and deep purple walls and ceilings. Annabelle likened this to falling asleep amidst the twinkling stars and twirling galaxies. And of all the contactees, Annabelle noted that, "I strongly believe Truman Bethlehem's account of meeting some extraterrestrials out on the Mormon Mesa in Nevada, and dearly hope that one day I might share a similar encounter." She was in the right place at the right time. And her first experience actually began on the night of the 16th of January, 1957, when a Venusian observation ranger by the name of Vorton beamed her up into a mothership. And for the next 4.5 years, she stayed with Vorton and the crew, exploring cloaked bases on floating islands out over the oceans, other bases in vast underground caverns, undersea bases, and even on the far side of the moon and other planets of the solar system. And all along the way, Annabelle was making new extraterrestrial friends while working with them on daring missions involving time travel and traversing interdimensional rifts. She also befriends a Russian cosmonaut working with a secret Soviet space program, which was to militarize the moon for the Soviet Union. It was called Project E4, and ends up assisting him in some unusual and unforeseen ways. So the book actually won second place in the Wildcat card category at the San Francisco Book Festival.
Congratulations. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, this is quite a story. Now, did you know Annabelle back in the day, in the late 50s, 60s, well enough, or was it a casual? What was your relationship like?
I've met many of the people in the contactee movement in my in my life, and I feel that it was my life's mission to write these books about Venus, because they've been there and done that as far as what we're going through on the Earth right now. So these books come out at a critical time, and I feel confirmed in this because every time I go to a flying saucer convention or a UFO meeting or something, people who knew these contactees intimately hand me over all kinds of files, photographs, letters, and so forth. I just got a telephone call today from Peter Kaur. Now, Peter Kaur is an alias for a scientist from the Livermore Labs who is also writing for Raymond A. Palmer and Flying Saucers magazine, Flying Saucers from Other Worlds, Amazing Stories, Fate magazine, and so forth. And he's the one who brought George Adamski and George Hunt Williamson together. I just got a call from him today, and I've been at his house several times. He's going to turn over a set of files to me for future research, and I also have all these files from, you know, Woody Derenberger's.
Well, that's another one that's below your name and guess. I'm going to put it up in headlines as well. Now, you said it's already been up on the site. I guess I put it up one of the last times you visited and don't remember it. The Derenberger file. That'll be up. It's available right below. I don't know. Did you see it on the site already? I don't remember putting it up, but it's up now. So.
Oh, it's up now. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's under your name and guests, so it's there. And it will be in headlines later on tonight as well. So,
awesome.
And tell us what the Derenberger file is. What is that all about?
Okay, this is going back to the mid 1960s. Uh-huh. Now, Woodrow Derenberger lived outside of Parkersburg, West Virginia, in a little town called Mineral Wells. That's just off of Interstate 77. When you're, you know, heading down, you know, passing through Marietta, Ohio, and then on your way down to Charleston. So it's a small town, kind of out of the way place. But Woody's extraterrestrial case came to the attention of the UFO community, and was even picked up on the wire services. That's back in the second week of November of 1966.
Right.
But his initial experience with a flying saucer and a being from another planet took place on the night of 2 November 1966.
Were these visitors, Venusians, or others? And I think the point needs to be made that we're being visited apparently all the time by many others, not just from one planet. And when Ray talks about conferences of people from other planets, he's talking about other planets in other galaxies, and this galaxy as well, but certainly not restricted to the solar system, so don't think that for a minute. It's a big deal. There are billions and billions of planets in this galaxy that, according to scientists, resemble this planet so very well in its rudimentary geology that it could easily harbor life. So billions of potentials. So we're being visited all the time.
Yes, this is quite true, Mr. Ranson. What besides
You call me Jeff, Ray, please. Just Jeff. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff. Well, we have the first revelation about the confederation of planets and a hierarchy of light presiding over this collection of planets within our spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy back in April of 1954 when George Van Tassel was opening up the first interplanetary spacecraft convention. And he said that that there are 51 solar systems and 601 planets that are represented. And one of these member planets happens to be Lanulos, which is about 8.5 light years from the Earth, according to Woodrow Derenberger.
Okay. So Woody got to take a trip.
He got to take many trips, and the first extraterrestrial that he met on that night was when the saucer landed on the country road outside his home was Indrid Cold, and he identified himself as a searcher of the cosmos.
Hmm. All right.
And then that article will explain that's posted on your site will explain many things about the Lanulotians and their abilities and so forth. Now, like the Venusians and many other extraterrestrial species, there are more evolved than we of the Earth. They have telepathic abilities, and they also have developed powers that we have within ourselves, but they're in a latent state. We haven't, or most of us haven't tried to exercise these powers, but you know, when you think about telekinesis, bilocation, many of these powers that seem like science fiction, but we actually have these kind of powers within us.
Well, that's one of the big secrets that the controllers don't want us to know, how powerful we really are. That's why they spend all this time dumbing us down, making us think that we are limited and we can't make it without their counsel and guidance. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes, and that's why this movement of the contactees is so important, because these extraterrestrials have shown us the way how to access and do these things, so that one day we can join that confederation of planets. But right now we're in such a barbaric state that unfortunately we're not going to be doing that anytime soon, I fear.
No, not with these kill shot vaccines that they're concocting and forcing people to take, or trying to force them to take. We're really in a very dark age here now, all of a sudden, and I hope we can get to the point where we can survive it. But right now, it doesn't look real good. So, I guess there's some kind of a cosmic law that there's not supposed to be overt, direct intervention in the goings on planets. Is that your understanding of it? Is that a kind of a
yes?
Rule?
That's my understanding, because they must respect our sovereignty. They've even said when we're ready, we'll be able to take control of the moon, that they'll turn it over peacefully to us, because it's our natural satellite to begin to begin with, but they can't trust us with it at this time.
When they say us, I wonder who they're thinking about. Are they talking about our controllers, who remain usually nameless and faceless, with Klaus Schwab accepted? Or are they talking about the more enlightened amongst normal humankind, who would be leaders if they were allowed to? Who are they talking about?
Oh, yes. They realize that everyone has the potential to be a leader, and that everybody has something that can be offered. So they're talking about this matrix of control that's over the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until we're free of that and united as a planet, until we have a planetary energy grid, until we have ended war and
we have to take our planet back, Ray, from the people who have subsumed control over all of us. These are not good people. So right now the planet Earth is in the hands of people who are not what you and I and our listeners would want to be sitting at the wheel of control. Not good. Hold on a minute. We'll come right back with Ray as we continue. We're going to talk more about Annabelle and Valiant Thor. There's a link there, which I'm looking forward to hearing about, and much more as we continue with Dr. Ray Keller coming up.